It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Chaos at the southern border.
It's going to take some time, but we are very clear-eyed about what the problems are.
That is the big story at noon. House Republicans getting a first-hand look at the crisis yesterday. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the Biden administration is to blame for the record number of illegal crossings.
The security and safety of Americans are the number one issue that a president should have. And these policies that he has changed had made us less safe.
The crisis comes as another high-speed chase between law enforcement and human smugglers claimed 8 lives yesterday at the border. That crash still under investigation. New Mexico Congresswoman Yvette Harrell.
This is a crisis at the border, and it really didn't have to be this way. You know, this administration could have done nothing, and it would have been better than it is right now.
Harrell says all President Biden had to do at the border was continue the policies of his predecessor. Brandon Judd is with the National Border Patrol Council.
The last administration solved this problem with the migrant protection protocols. The new administration came in and did away with the migrant protection protocols, and that's what's causing this huge surge.
Former NYPD officer and radio talk show host Dan Bongino says Biden's open border policy, the wrong move at the wrong time.
Let's just open the southern border in the middle of a pandemic because this is a spectacular idea.
Tongue firmly in cheek there, Bongino says contrary to what the administration thinks, borders aren't bad, they're necessary.
We're watching the collapse of the greatest country in the history of humankind. Is this hard? We have a border. You know what you have if you don't have a border? You have a landmass. You don't have a country. Just close the border and say, hey, you want to come in? There's the door. There's this thing called the process.
President Biden has sent FEMA to the southern border to help handle the influx of unaccompanied minors entering the U.S. Federal officials say they have over 4,200 kids in custody. President Biden is in the suburbs of Philly today. He's selling the American Rescue Plan to the American people. The White House calls it the Help Is Here tour. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson calls it something else.
We'll just call it the sugar high tour.
Democrats point to polls that show most Americans support the massive spending bill, which they say is needed to get us past the pandemic. But Congressman Thompson says all it's going to do is crush families with debt.
$1.9 trillion. That comes out to $22,000 per man, woman, and child in this country of additional debt.
Bloomberg News reports President Biden is planning the first major tax hike in almost 30 years to pay for the stimulus package, as well as a massive infrastructure spending spree that's in the D.C. pipeline. 55 days and counting, and still no Biden news conference. By comparison, former President Trump had done 5 pressers at this point in his presidency.
Biden won't even take questions in a casual setting. He's lucky to answer a question walking away.
Former White House press secretary Ari Fleischer.
So my question to the White House staff is, why are you doing this? Why are you hiding the man?
White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki promised this month that Mr. Biden would hold a solo news conference before the end of March. Another state has opened COVID vaccinations to all adults.
I think that would be great for the Mississippi so we can get back to some kind of normalcy. We all need it.
Mississippi now following Alaska's lead in allowing anyone over the age of 16 to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Moderna, meantime, has given study doses of its vaccine to kids under the age of 12. This mother says her 2 daughters, part of that clinical trial.
To get them protected was really important for us. I wanted them to set an example to say, hey, this vaccine is safe. We actually, as doctors, trust our children getting this shot.
A recent poll shows 42% of Republicans say they won't be getting the COVID vaccine. 17% of Democrats say they won't be getting the shot. The World Health Organization met today with safety experts after Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and Sweden suspended use of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Several countries stopping use of the shot after reports of blood clots and bleeding.
When we put a pause on vaccines usage, it increases vaccine hesitancy.
Dr. David Agus teaches medicine at USC. The WHO reviewing the growing safety concerns over the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Still to come this Tuesday, investigating Andrew Cuomo, horrific murder in Rochester, and schools back in Scranton.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at some patches of light mixed wintry precipitation in the area this afternoon. I'll have the very latest in the forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Tuesday, March 16th. The investigations into New York Governor Andrew Cuomo continue. The disgraced Democrat facing 7 sexual harassment claims, along with allegedly covering up COVID-19 nursing home deaths. Anna Liss from Rochester, New York, worked for the governor 6 years ago.
There was a lot of vitriolic screaming, shouting, name-calling. He never asked me about my work. He never spoke my name. He did make flirtatious gestures and comments towards me.
Another Cuomo accuser spoke to investigators for more than 4 hours yesterday. Former aide Charlotte Bennett describing a sexually hostile work environment where the governor frequently made suggestive remarks. Another accuser, Karen Hinton, describes an encounter she had with Cuomo back in 2000 when he was still HUD secretary.
He approached me, embraced me too tightly, too long.
New York state lawmakers say the harassment allegations, just one part of their impeachment probe. The other part will focus on the state's COVID nursing home deaths. Despite the scandals, the Biden administration says it will not strip Cuomo of his role in leading the country's weekly COVID calls. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
New developments seem to happen every day. We find them troubling. The president finds them troubling. Our objective, though, here continues to be to get the COVID pandemic under control. And we don't want the people of New York or any state to be impacted negatively. We will continue to work with a range of governors, including Governor Cuomo.
In the meantime, a new poll out shows mixed results for New York's scandal-scarred governor. Here's Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, despite the nursing home scandal and sexual harassment allegations, a new poll shows half of New Yorkers do not want Governor Cuomo to resign. The Siena survey says voters believe Cuomo should stay in office by a 50 to 35% margin. Cuomo's favorability rating has dropped 13 points in just 1 month. Just 34% of New Yorkers would vote to reelect him if he runs again. 52% would prefer someone else. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Alrighty, Bob, a disturbing story today out of the Flower City. Police in Rochester, New York, say two teenagers facing serious charges after they intentionally set a man on fire. The victim passed away after spending 4 days in a burn center in Rochester. The names of the 16 and 14-year-old suspects haven't been released. Authorities say the two teens lit the victim on fire after spraying him with an ignitable fluid while he was sitting in a chair in his apartment. That man suffered third-degree burns over 70% of his body. 1 year after the death of Daniel Prude, the Rochester Police Department banning chokeholds except for extreme circumstances where deadly force is authorized. Mayor Lovely Warren.
There are some things that, as you all know, can't wait. You just got to get it done.
The chokehold ban, part of a number of changes the police department is undergoing. Following the death of Prude last March, the pepper spraying of a 9-year-old girl in January, and the police shooting death of a man outside a homeless shelter in Rochester last week.
Here's the most important thing about all these policies is that unless officers are being trained and unless there are disciplinary consequences for not following these rules, these policies might just be little more than words on paper.
Connor Dwyer Reynolds with the Police Accountability Board says more needs to be done to clean up law enforcement practices in the city of Rochester. Pennsylvania's largest gun show promoter banning ghost gun kits from its gun shows. Attorney General Josh Shapiro praising the deal made with Eagle Arms Productions, saying it'll help stop crime in the Commonwealth. Critics disagree.
80% firearms mainly fall under the category of hobbyists who are looking to enjoy and build their own firearms. A person with bad intentions will get a firearm or get a weapon in any way, shape, or form that they can.
Kurt Green at Stout's Gun Shop in Harrisburg says ghost gun kits pose no more harm to society than anything else you can find at your local retail store.
You cannot buy an 80% lower out-of-the-box and discharge rounds from it. It takes a considerable amount of effort and considerable access to tooling, considerable access to mechanics. mechanical knowledge that you will need for that gun to function. Lots of things out there that are a lot more dangerous you could purchase at Home Depot.
But Adam Garber at Ceasefire PA says the ghost gun kits are dangerous because you don't need to pass a background check to get them.
Because they don't have to follow existing gun safety laws like background checks, and they're untraceable, it means that they're quickly becoming the weapon of choice for people who want to harm others in violent crime.
Ghost gun kits are untraceable and can be bought online, then assembled at home. Eagle Arms Productions, the first gun show promoter in the U.S. to ban the sale of those ghost gun kits. For the first time in New York State history, both the Senate and the Assembly have passed budgets totaling more than $200 billion each. That's $20 billion more than what the governor has proposed. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie.
It's a clear message from where the legislature is, and we hope the governor, you know, agrees with us.
The budget calls for taxing the rich by creating two new tax brackets if passed. New York's personal income tax rate will be the highest in the country. The state budget is due April 1st. 75% indoor capacity. That's what's on the horizon for Pennsylvania gyms, theaters, and restaurants.
We are so excited to get everyone back enjoying everyone's company.
Colleen Blaney works at the Sunrise Cafe in Clark's Summit, PA.
It'll help get bills that have been sitting paid to have the opportunity to serve more customers.
The easing of COVID restrictions in Pennsylvania will take effect Sunday, April 4th, Easter Sunday in PA. Students in Scranton will head back to the classroom next month. The school board finalizing the plan for the return of in-person learning in the Electric City. Teachers will head back on Thursday this week. Students will return in stages starting Monday, April 12th. The Board of Regents has voted to cancel the August exams in New York because of the pandemic.
The Regents exam has survived all kinds of criticism. It is a good measurement. However, this is a very, very unusual year, to say the least.
Former Regent Bob Bennett says the exams are still one of the best tools the state has when it comes to gauging whether or not kids are learning.
Testing is still a very, very important element of education, because once they get out in the real world, they're going to face all kinds of tests. It'll come in different forms, but the employer market isn't going to change their practice because somebody thinks that they had a bad year.
If the Department of Education denies a waiver requested by the board, some Regents exams will still take place in June. Let's pause for sports. We call it your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in the NFL, where free agent frenzy is underway. Quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick going to Washington. Jameis Winston staying with the Saints. Rob Gronkowski staying with the Bucks. Patriots adding multiple players. Steelers losing linebacker Bud Dupree to the Titans. The Bills re-sign Matt Milano and Daryl Williams. The field is set for the women in the NCAA tournament. Stanford, the top overall seed. Connecticut will be without Gino Auriemma for at least the first round. The coach tested positive for COVID. North Carolina State and South Carolina, other number one seed, Syracuse Orange, they are an eighth seed. They'll play ninth seeded South Dakota State. Fourth seeded West Virginia plays Patriot League champion Lehigh, a 13th seed. Bucknell, who finished the regular season undefeated, did not get an invite. To the ice, six different Capitals scored. Washington crushes the Sabres 6-0 in Buffalo. Ralph Krueger.
We had multiple opportunities to bring pucks to net, bodies to net. We didn't do it.
The Sabres have now lost the 11th straight. Kalik Poso.
Guys are trying, and it's just not working. I don't know what else to say.
Penguin center Evgeny Malkin joined a league company last night. He scored his 11th, 100th career point in the NHL, just the third Russian-born player to do so, joining Alex Ovechkin and Sergei Fedorov. He tallied his 8th goal and 16th assist in the Pens' 4-1 win over the Bruins. Hit the kid impressed.
Yeah, there's not much he can do to stop him. He's so big, and I think just the way he's carrying the puck, and you can tell he's really confident.
Malkin sits third in career points on the Penguins' list behind Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby. At Madison Square Garden, Jacob Voracek scored in overtime. The Flyers beat the Rangers 5-4.
Yeah, I was dead. I mean, I just got a good bounce there, and I knew I had some time, so I don't want to give a breakaway, and
You think that Kincaid bite on that thing?
And in the NBA Battle of New York, Kyrie Irving scored 34. The Nets hold off to beat the Knicks 117-112. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, the southern border crisis and what's being done to stop it. We'll take a closer look. Plus, helping former inmates get a second chance at life. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, meet the family with 30 siblings.
Over and over again throughout church history, Christians and pagan cultures have found themselves defending the rights of children. We need to learn from that. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In nearly every sector of our society, media, education, medicine, public policy, even sports, children are now made subjects of our social experimentation. As fundamental realities of life, such as sex, marriage, and parenting, are fundamentally reimagined, we say to ourselves over and over in various ways, oh, the kids, they'll be fine. But overwhelming evidence suggests that they aren't. At the same time, too many churches and too many Christians, often jaded by Christian activism, either poorly done or poorly received, or maybe both, have now moved to the sidelines. At times, this move has been away from the social implications of the gospel to focus instead on things like personal transformation and privatized faith. At other times, this move has been simple compromise on moral issues, maybe out of a misplaced attempt to be nice and welcoming and relevant. However, this indifference to our culture's widespread exploitation of children places these churches and these Christians firmly outside of church history. Time and time again, across cultures and across time periods, those who brought the gospel to pagan cultures found themselves defending and protecting abused, abandoned, and victimized children. One of the great missionary heroes of church history is a clear example of this. Amy Carmichael was born in 1867 to devout parents in Ireland. By 1895, after already serving as a missionary elsewhere, Carmichael devoted herself to bringing the gospel to South India. She traveled with a group of Indian women converts known as Starry Cluster, and they tell anyone, regardless of their caste, about God's love. Many women fleeing slavery and prostitution in Indian temples came to Christ because of her preaching. One day, a young girl named Prina, who'd been sold as a temple slave by her widowed mother and literally branded when she tried to run away, listened as Amy Carmichael told about God's love. Prina ran away again, but this time to Amy's house. Amy knew that if she took Prina in, she could be charged with kidnapping. However, she also knew that to send Prina back would mean further beatings and maybe even death. So Amy welcomed Prina into her home. This led Amy to begin studying the caste system in far more detail. She learned that children were often dedicated to the gods and left at temples to be slaves and child prostitutes. Horrified, she dedicated the rest of her life to fight these abuses. As word spread, other children and teenagers who'd run away from temples began to show up at her door. Soon, Amy was looking after almost 50 of them. So, she moved all of them to the city of Donover and established the Donover Fellowship, a home for former child prostitutes. In 1918, she added a home for boys, many of whom were also temple prostitutes. Throughout her lifetime, Amy Carmichael took in over 1,000 children, gave each one a new home, renewed hope, and even a new name. In 1948, largely because of Amy's work and influence, child prostitution was outlawed in India. 3 years later, Amy died at the age of 83. Well, today you can join Carmichael and the many others from Christian history by making a promise to America's children, pledging to protect the minds, the bodies, and the most important relationships of children in our culture. And after you do that, learn all the ways that children are being victimized and how you and the church can help by reading the book, Them Before Us, Why We Need a Global Children's Rights Movement. It's a vital new book by Katie Faust, and it's our featured resource from the Colson Center this month. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Got some tricky travel out there this afternoon. Let's get to it. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that was once the Colorado blizzard of the weekend has come east to bring our area a little light mixed precipitation today. The system is much weaker and meager, but it is going to produce a few slippery spots in that light wintry mix. Now, in its wake, it continues to turn milder. Temperatures tomorrow will flirt with 50. The next weathermaker comes in later in the week. That's a rain to potentially snow scenario for later Thursday and Thursday night. For this afternoon, cloudy. A few patches of light snow, ice, and rain. Any snow accumulations will be slight, but there will be a few slippery spots. Travelers take note. The high in the 30s and near 40. A few leftover sprinkles this evening, the low dropping toward 30. Milder tomorrow, cloudy skies, break for a little sun. The high in the 40s and near 50. Thursday, cloudy with rain arriving, changing to ice and snow for some as temperatures fall from the 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, March 16th. House Republicans got a firsthand look at the crisis at the southern border yesterday. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the Biden administration is to blame for the record number of illegal crossings.
This crisis is created by the presidential policies of this new administration. There's no other way to claim it than a Biden border crisis.
President Biden has now sent FEMA to the southern border to help handle the influx of unaccompanied minors entering the U.S. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
It's not acceptable, but I think the challenge here is that there are not that many options. We have a lot of critics, but many of them are not putting forward a lot of solutions.
The federal government has now detained over 4,200 unaccompanied minors at the southern border. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson thinks drug cartels and human smugglers now exploiting the crisis going on at the border.
Within the chaos of 100,000 people coming across the border illegally, the cartels have to be taking advantage of that as a distraction and camouflage to be able to move the drugs and human trafficking. You know, this has been a windfall for the cartels.
Officials say as the weather warms up, those illegal border crossings will only get worse. The fallout continues over that phone call made by Governor Cuomo's vaccine czar. He reportedly called county executives to gauge their level of loyalty to the scandal-scarred governor. Here's Chautauqua County Executive P.J. Wendell.
Now to hear that he's asking who's going to be loyal to the governor, wow, that's, I don't know what else to say.
A spokesman for the governor says the vaccine czar never pressured county executives for support in exchange for help with the pandemic. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro.
The responses run the spectrum from those who just didn't think anything of it to those who really felt it was a troubling and a very alarming phone call.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants an investigation into that call. The governor's vaccine czar says he never mixed COVID response policy with political considerations. President Biden is reportedly looking at imposing the first major tax hike in this country in close to 30 years. The administration says that hike is needed in order to pay for that $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that was just signed into law.
We're going to give you guys stimulus checks for $1,400 and then simultaneously tax it all away and take it all back.
That's radio talk show host Dan Bongino.
Who is the genius who's sitting in a boardroom in Washington, D.C. somewhere or up on Capitol Hill, saying, and I've got a better idea as we're giving people money to tax it back.
The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also says the administration is considering a wealth tax on the nation's highest earners in order to pay for a multi-trillion-dollar domestic agenda. Astronomers say they've discovered a large black hole, and that hole is on the move. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
A new study says the black hole, about 230 million light years from Earth, appeared to be in motion compared to nine others studied that were stationary. This mobile black hole is very heavy, weighing 3 million times more than the sun. Study co-author Jim Condon says it could be the aftermath of two supermassive black holes that have merged, or the black hole is one of a pair within the galaxy. Brandon Dixon, Family Life. News.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Brandon. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. Tuesday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, William Gallerani from DeRider, New York. He's giving those recently released from prison a second chance at life. You think April, you think spring, you think renewal, you think hope, especially what we've gone through the past year. Talk to us about Second Chance Month and what that entails.
Second Chance Month is a response to what is known by many who are leaving incarceration as the second prison. One in three American adults, or approximately 70 million people, has a criminal record. And there are more than 44,000 documented restrictions affecting people with a criminal record. Add to that that more than 600,000 people are released from prison or jail every year. So the bars of the second prison are far-reaching. Mm-hmm. And what the second prison is restrictions and limitations that really keep people from being able to engage fully as productive citizens of society again.
Even though these people are out of jail, they're really not out of jail.
Absolutely. When they're done paying their debt to society, the second prison means that the criminal conviction, no matter how far in your past, is never really behind you. Mm-hmm. It affects how people look at you, whether they are willing to offer you a job or lease you an apartment, whether you are welcomed at church on Sunday morning, whether you can get professional licensing, whether you are able to obtain financial aid to continue your education, and just many other things that are necessary to lead a full and productive life.
Yeah. So what is your organization doing to fix this problem?
Prison Fellowship not only looks to minister to the individual that is incarcerated and their family, but we're also looking to really look at criminal justice reform. You know, pass legislation that will do away with some of these restrictions that by nature do more harm. They're very harsh. Again, you may have people who have had a nonviolent drug offense. They serve time, and as a result, they're not able to get certain housing. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to bring awareness to churches. These people are in our congregations, many of them struggling, many looking to find work, and they just need a helping hand.
I know this governor, Andrew Cuomo, has proposed legislation that has caused many in the law enforcement community to kind of raise their eyebrows a little bit. Are you supportive of some of the legislative bills that have come before Albany when you look at what you're trying to fix in society?
It's just a matter of releasing people, but they have no resources when they're released. If they're just being dumped into the street, basically, we're just going to purge our prisons. We're going to release people to the streets, but we're not going to give them the tools to actually be successful and productive. In the long run, that may be more harmful than good, because crime can become very attractive to someone who isn't able to make it legitimately, make it honestly. If we have legislation that will help that individual become a productive member of society, then I'm all for it. But simply to release people for the sake of releasing people without giving them the tools to be productive, yeah, may in fact be setting them up for failure.
The message you want to leave, because we have a lot of business owners that listen to us, we have a lot of former prisoners who listen to us, to bridge that gap, to make that connection, to help these folks reacclimate to society. What's your message to those listeners right now when it comes to taking those former inmates, plugging them into society, and making it work for the betterment for all?
My advice would be is, you know someone. If one in three American adults has a criminal record, then you know someone, probably in your family, so it's close to home. You know, just be aware of that in our conversations, how we talk about people. People have a God-given dignity, whether they've served time or not, because they were created in the image of God.
Well, we all need second chances, don't we, William?
And we've all gotten them, thank God.
That's William Gallerani from DeRuyter, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes. We'll be right back. on Family Life. The Big Show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that was once the Colorado blizzard of the weekend has come east to bring our area a little light mixed precipitation today. The system is much weaker and meager, but it is going to produce a few slippery spots in that light wintry mix. Now, in its wake, it continues to turn milder. Temperatures tomorrow will flirt with 50. The next weathermaker comes in later in the week. That's a rain to potentially snow scenario for later Thursday and Thursday night. For this afternoon, cloudy. A few patches of light snow, ice, and rain. Any snow accumulations will be slight, but there will be a few slippery spots. Travelers take note. The high in the 30s and near 40. Few leftover sprinkles this evening, the low dropping toward 30. Milder tomorrow, cloudy skies break for a little sun. The high in the 40s and near 50. Thursday, cloudy with rain arriving, changing to ice and snow for some as temperatures fall from the 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, a college student in Rochester, New York, just found out he has 30 siblings.
It's the craziest thing that could ever happen to anyone, you know?
27-year-old Andy Torrey took to TikTok last week to explain what happened when he took an ancestry DNA test.
I always wanted siblings, so, like, this is like the universe, like, overcorrecting my childhood dream, essentially.
Torrey's 30 half-brothers and sisters were all products of artificial insemination. They've all been welcomed with open arms into this unconventional family.
I live in Atlanta, so my closest sibling, she lives in Birmingham. She texted me immediately and was like, hey, let's get lunch tomorrow. And like the feeling of like hugging your sister for the first time, I mean, like, you can't put that into words.
The family lives as far away as Germany and as close as Rochester, where Torrey attends college. One of the half-siblings is Lindsay Roble from Batavia, New York.
It feels like I'm talking to somebody I've known my whole life, like a really, like an old friend I just haven't talked to in a couple years. And there's just this immediate, like, recognition.
In this group of 30 people, there are two sets of twins, and like a lot of families, they share a lot in common, including the love of politics and the love of music. Unbelievable story. That's the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.